I mean, it's natural. Do you understand? It is natural. You see something that is afraid, and sorry, that is fearful, that is dangerous. All right? It's, and the person responds in a natural fashion, in itself is not a problem. The real problem is when somebody does not use the solution that God has provided. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Listen, number one, let me just really say this. The real solution to fear, let me say simply, is to magnify God. That's the solution to fear. Let me summarize it like that. The solution to fear is the praise of God. I went to preach somewhere a few weeks ago. And it was a praise program. It was a praise program. And what I taught, I think I taught here before, here and there, but let me just share it briefly again, is the meaning of the word praise. The meaning of the word praise. Praise is not a song. I hope you know that. You know, in Christianity, we like to, if it is slow, it is worship, it is fast, it is... You know, we don't think sometimes. You just do things, all right? If it is very fast, song, say, that is praise. Let us go into praise right now. Then we'll finish and we'll slow down the song. Say, now let us worship. It is slow, it is fast. The tempo does not change the quality of what is inside. I hope you know that. Praise is not a song. That's not what praise is. All right? No. What is praise? Praise is when you call God by his proper name in the midst of every circumstance. Because as a matter of fact, there's a name he bears all the time. That is, in each circumstance you find yourself. That's how God is. Every time there is a name he bears, what is praise? Praise is just to call God by his proper name at each point in time. That's all praise is. In fact, many years ago, I heard Miles Morrow teaching. He said that when Moses asked God, who do I say sent me? He said, go and tell them I am. He said, what does I am mean? I am means that my name is so plenty, I can't give you all of them. So I just give you the first two words, I am. Then anywhere you get to, fill in the rest. So Jesus will come and look at hungry people and say, all right, this is the correct name for today. I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. Look at thirsty people. I am the water of life. Are you getting my point? God gives names to himself, that is, he bears the name depending on the situation you find the person in. He looks at a woman. She has not born children, given birth to children. She doesn't have children at all. So he said, I am God that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. That's a single name. It's not a sentence. It's a name. It's what? A name. Listen, go to India. Not India now. I mean, the Native Americans. That's how their names are. And you and I know, our names all have meanings. Thank God we are not descendants of Europeans. Even the Europeans, when you say, man, Mr. Stone, that stone has a name. It has a name. Say, Mr. Green. Go and ask his great-great-great-grandfathers. It's apostasy that made men forget the history behind their names, those people. As a matter of fact, names have meanings, all right? And so when you see God describes it by one long sentence, it's not as if he does, he's just trying to make description. He's telling you, this is my name. That's why I always say Jehovah's Witnesses will mount crusades, trying to persuade us the name of God is Jehovah. It doesn't make sense. He cannot be. It's just one of the names he bears, depending on what we are dealing with. If you write the names of God, you will convert all the trees on this earth to paper to write his name, you still will not finish. Because things will happen tomorrow that you have not yet seen. And he has prepared a name for himself concerning that thing. You get what I'm saying? Before there were schools, he wasn't the God that provided school fees. You know that? Nobody knew him by that. You know, Jesus said that, look, by this name, nobody knew the Father. You understand? There's a name. That is, each generation, there's a new name God uses to describe himself. There was no God of the internet those days. You know that? There was no God of Infotech. Now he is the God. So there's a name he bears in every situation. I know what I'm saying. Real praise is to discover the name of God and call him by his proper name. If you like, sing it. If you like, dance it. If you like, chant it. If you like, recite it. Whichever way. Once you are calling God by the proper name that he bears in that situation. Look, people say they are writing books. 12 names of God. When we were in school, we learned it too. Jehovah Shekinu, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh. And then they finish it. Those are the 12 names of God. Now I know that that's an introduction to the names of God. Yeah, that's introduction. Because when you begin to write his name, there's a name he bears, the name God that settles quarrel between husband and wife. You know, that's now. Yes, I'm telling you, it's a name. I'm telling you, there is a God that makes a man love his wife. He's there. And there are women who are suffering in their marriages because the husband's heart has disappeared. If they learn the name of God, you put it there, the God that brings his heart back home and makes him sit down here. And you call him by that name, the man will just get up, start a car, start rushing home. He won't know what is chasing him. It is called Jehovah that returns a husband home. I'm telling you, the real cure for fear is to recognize the true name of God. That's why God always will say like this, do not be afraid. I am the God that is with you. That's another name. It's not just that I'm there, no, but my name is the God that's always there. You follow what I'm saying? Anytime he says, don't be afraid, he gives a reason not to be afraid. Please, you must get the point. He always gives a reason. He said the young lions can suffer hunger, can be afraid, can be this, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So when the fear of poverty wants to face you, comes up and wants to face you, wants to stare you down in the face, you turn around and say, wait. He says, if I seek the Lord, I will never lack any good thing. Now, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. That is simple. That's how to handle fear. To recognize the name of God. So when the fear of poverty is staring you in the face, you look for the scripture. In fact, you know my own. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Some people give me advice. Do this, do that. It will help you. Many years ago, stock markets, investments, and all of that. I was one guy who hated the concept, and I'll tell you my reason. Not because it's bad, but because the way it was taught to me is that it's security for tomorrow. I said, no lie. God will kill me if I try this. Once I put my hope in anything but him, I'm in trouble. I said, you know, your children have to go to school, so you have to start laying up money now for them so that when it's time to go to school, you will use the investment in stock market to send them to school. When people tell me like that, I say, look at me. My children will go to school, amen. Other people's children who I don't know will go to school on my bill. Thousands of people will go to school on my bill. That is not possible that you'll be scaring me with how many children am I planning to have? That how will they go to school? Listen, if it comes to that, I will build school for my children. So don't scare me at all. One day I told my wife, I said, imagine that they bring a man down here now, sits down. Said, this man has 50 houses. He has 2 billion naira. And they put your husband beside him, sit down. And you know what he doesn't have, and you know the houses he doesn't have. You know the ones he's rented. As they say, in 20 years' time, who do you think will still have a house to live in? Point to one. The man that has 50 houses and 2 billion naira? Of course not. The man who trusts in the Lord. He's the one. I said, listen, I told you faith has monetary value. There are times this afternoon I still thought about it. I tried to calculate how much my faith was worth. It was a lot of money. So when I'm a billionaire, believe me, I walk around, I know I'm rich. Ability to enjoy, all right, is a gift of God. The faith to tap into the enjoyment of God, all right, is expensive. Many people who have billions don't have it. So if I see a billionaire without my kind of faith, I look at him, say, he wished not that he was poor, wretched, naked, blind. I'm telling you. Yeah, because as a matter of fact, my faith is real. People could see it. The value of it, all the gold that Solomon had, do you understand, cannot be compared to the value of my faith. And Jesus said, he said, Solomon in all of his glory didn't have as much as the grass of the field in appearance. So when people explained to me that time, this is how you secure your tomorrow. I said, I better go away. The first time I put one naira in the stock market was, I don't know how many of you were here, then when I taught spiritual economics, I talked about he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. He said, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God said, this is my answer. He that sows in tears shall reap with joy. So that if you are saying, God, restore something, he's demanding upon you to put your seed into that thing. So if we are praying for Nigeria economy, we cannot refuse to put our money inside it. Then, that was when I started doing the bank's IPOs. I preached from this same pulpit. I said, if you have money, go and buy. And I spent my money then. I bought two of them. The one I spent more of my money on was Oceanic Bank. It's not worth anything today. Do you understand? But you look back, you think I feel bad? No. When it was hitting the roof in price, one man said, ah, sell. Time to me. I said, listen, I didn't buy it to make money. I bought it to make a statement. I bought it to put my spirit into the Nigerian economy. If they lie, let them go down. They must come back. They have my money. I don't mean Oceanic Bank itself. I mean Nigerian economy. It's not just about prayer. Then it was, look, the price was going through. The one brother was harassing me. Ah, let's do business now. I said, listen, that is money I wrote off. The moment I issued that check to Oceanic Bank, I wrote off the money in my mind. I said, sit, go and listen to the message. I preached the message and acted upon it. I acted based upon spiritual understanding. And you see, God knows what he was. He proved me right that I said, this thing can never be investment for future. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yesterday, I was watching on TV. Again, CNBC Africa. They were doing this program on them. This Bernard Madoff man. You know, those of you know about it. Bernard Madoff. The greatest Ponzi scheme that America ever saw. Pyramid scheme. Collect money from people. Look. See people he wrecked. Average loss there is not $10,000. It's $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million. That's what people were losing to Bernard Madoff schemes. One woman and her husband, they are now running a kind of a transport service with their car they have. These were millionaires. Bernard Madoff shoots all their money. So nobody can tell me putting physical investment is a security for tomorrow. Are you getting my point? No. I said, what is security for tomorrow? God said it. If I like the way one musician said it then, the Sounds of Blackness. They said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that good name for God, the God who holds the future. It's a very good name. It's a very good name. So I know that tomorrow, look, I can't be investing for the security of tomorrow. I need to be stupid. I have watched enough television to know that's a crazy idea. And Jesus declared it. Do not lay all treasure on the earth. Where moth can eat, destroy, and thieves do break in and steal. Bernard Madoff was a thief. He broke into their homes and stole. Inflation is moth. It destroys any money you lay up somewhere. One brother was telling me once that he saves a lot of money. What will happen to it? I said, one of two things will happen to the money. Both of them will end in your losing it. You can be sure of that. I said, inflation will either destroy it for you or the bank will collapse on it. Choose one. Lay it up. The more it is, the more you will fall. That's why, as a believer, listen, if they say, economy, save up money, that's when I will spend it. In fact, I like the way this man says it. What is his name? Richest man in the world, Warren Buffett. He said, when everybody is cautious, it's time to be greedy. When everybody is greedy, it's time to be cautious. I said, that's what Jesus said now. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody walks on that one. The one that leads to life. Few ever find it. I hope you follow what I'm saying. What is the number one cure for fear? It is to recognize the name of God and call him by his proper name. Listen, you can never... Look, the illustration I used to use before. Let me make my statement. I'll give you the illustration. You can never, humanly speaking, run away from the thing you are afraid of and be safe. It's not possible. If you are afraid of poverty, every human step you take to become rich is the one that's guaranteeing that you become poor when you can't take steps anymore. You hear what I said? If you are making your choice because you are afraid of poverty, every human step you take because of the fear of poverty is the one that is ensuring that when the poverty will return, it will be at a time when you can't do anything about it. I I've said it, if you ever see a Christian girl that wants to marry a rich man so as to come out of poverty, that man is in trouble. She has just brought a curse into his house. It's better, he had better become broke early so that both of them can pray and return to prosperity. Christianity is a serious matter. As they don't say they're looking for a rich, you know, this is spiritual. God said, because you said we'll run on horses, therefore you will run. He said, we'll go and buy fast horses, swift horses, and flee. He said, therefore, those who are chasing you will be swift. If you are looking for reasons to run, God said, I will supply abundance. Abundance of reasons to run. But when I see trouble, this is what I'm saying. This is a cure for fear. I don't try and face it by human machinations. That's number two thing. I said there are two things I'm going to mention. Let me say two anyway. I said first, recognize the praise of God. Number two, this is how you apply it. Oh God, this is what I love about Christianity. And this is that makes me feel sorry for people who don't know God. Is that simplicity of prayer. You know what I said? The simplicity of prayer. Listen. Hey. There's a man. Okay, let me not tell any story. But there's a man I know. My friend said, why is that man not married? I said, he's afraid. You know why? His closest friends are all divorced. Young men. I don't see the guy they fear. If you have a tangible fear, let us assume this one I was given earlier. Your father was okay as a civil servant. And then when he decided to get up and enter into business, that's when the problems began. Don't go to heaven and die as a civil servant. If you are not called, your name is not Darlene in Babylon. Don't just try it. Are you getting my point? Do that which God called you to do. But before you step out, it's simple. You crawl into the closet of prayer. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember. And you tell God simply, this is the... Confession, I wrote an article long ago, The Power of Confession. If you say something out loud, openly, to God, to somebody, do you get what I'm saying? You have killed the power of that thing against you. Just say to God simply, see, this is the thing I'm afraid. Are you getting my point? It's not like you are confessing, I'm afraid. May I be more afraid? No, that is not the thing. There are two ways confessions go. There are confessions that affirm something. Like you say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's a confession that's affirming something. But it's a confession that releases something out of your life. In which everybody says, opportunity. You can go and become a slave in a European country. At least you are sure of tomorrow. That one, you go back and see how they come. Kneel down. Say, in fact, the way I do it, I'll call two of my friends who you know who to call at such times. I call men who have faith. In fact, you know, there's a friend of mine, he's a pastor in Sokoto. There are things I want to hear. I call him. Do you get what I'm saying? I know this is a counsel I should be given. This is the word of God. I need somebody to give me that word. I will call him, tell him the whole story. Then he will say something. I say, look, I knew you were going to say that. I needed you to say it. So thank you very much. Don't worry. You didn't surprise me with your counsel. He said, look, Banky, let me tell you. This is what I think. Oh, let me be honest. He starts talking. When he finishes, have you finished? I said, I knew that was what you were going to say. And the reason why I called you is because I want to hear you say it. Because I know it is the truth. It's good for it to come from the mouth. Iron sharpening iron. Let it come from his mouth. It will sharpen me. And lay simply. Sometimes you go to people like that, you discuss, and they give you two words from God, fear is dead. They give you two words from God, that's the end of fear. Look, life will bring forth challenges, that's what I'm saying. Reasons to be afraid. People will say that, look, if you go like this, it's a millionaire. If you go like this, if I want a friend of mine, came to my house. He was about to move to the UK, and that day I remember, I felt very sorry for him. You know why I felt sorry for him? I was sure he didn't believe in what he was doing. You know when a man is not sure what he's doing? You know how you know? He's only trying to talk about it. He's trying to convince himself that he knows what he's doing. So you see, when you get there, at least you can plan for your children. I was looking at him. In this country, you can't plan for your children. I was looking at him. No, there are things you shouldn't say in the presence of some people. You are insulting other people. You don't know that. You're calling me a fool. I don't love my children. I don't plan to. You know, do you know? You don't know things you are saying when you are saying some things. As I was talking, I remember that day, I wanted to tell him, boy, keep quiet. Nobody is forcing you to go anywhere. Why are you trying to tell us that it's reasonable what you are doing? Did I come to this? I'm happy. Well, let me say like this. I'm happy it was then. If it is now, we'll quarrel. But no, I don't think we'll have quarreled. Just that now I have learned. You know, I've learned a lot from my wife in that area. My wife will tell you, if you like, be angry. She will tell. But me, I'll just be keeping quiet and say, So Pastor Banky, I'm thinking that maybe I should just commit suicide. I say, oh. Do you know where they say Galamal in 20? I say, over there. That's how I used to be. But I think I have changed. No, I have improved a lot. Now I tell people the truth. I'm getting better by the day. But if my wife said, why didn't you say? I said, listen, you should know somebody who wants to hear something, those who don't want to hear it. I know those who want to hear the truth. I will give it to them. Those who don't want to hear it, they say, you see, life is so horrible. I think I should just go and die. I say, I will even ask you, after you are dead, where would you like to be buried? So, man, you think I should die? I said, oh, you don't want to die? It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Don't be like that. That's what I'm telling you. All right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what the Bible says. So, wound the person. The guy, my friend, why should you die? If you die, we use electric shock to wake you up by force. You stupid boy. Abuse him properly. Tell him the truth. Don't do him the way I used to do. That's what my wife does very well. My wife will abuse you from top to bottom. Tell you the whole truth about your life. If you like, don't talk to her again. It's good. It's good. That's what the Bible says a friend should do. I was not a good friend before. I'm a better friend now. Amen? I'm getting friendlier. I'm becoming more wicked. That's how friends are supposed to be. They will attack you straight. Then the guy was just okay. Because deep inside me, I was getting irritated. How can you tell me that there's a place on this earth that you can plan for the future of your children? Are you blind? Don't you watch news? Don't you see things happening? It's not in the same countries people send their children back to Nigeria to come and go to school because they can't afford them. And what are you talking about? Isn't it not from this same country people dip their hands in their pockets, give their children school fees, and they go and pay $20,000? What are you talking about? When you're a Christian, there are things that shouldn't come from your mouth. If indeed you're afraid, like I said, you go home and go and pray. Father, I have heard that schools are getting costly. When you pray and you are praying in sincerity, God, you say I should not be afraid. Like I say all the time, Hezekiah. Hezekiah, they wrote him letters, and those letters were wicked letters. In fact, one man, I heard somewhere, I think, is there Akwa Ibom or Cross River State? So some people said they're coming to kidnap him. He said, why bother? How much are you planning to collect as ransom? They told him, he sent it to them. So don't bother kidnapping. Ordinary kidnapper, write letter. People, they fear. Imagine when the strongest army in the world now encamps around you. A small nation, Israel. It's good time. It's a good opportunity for fear. Don't you think so? But what did the man do? He told everybody, shut up, don't say anything. He took the letters, crawled into the temple, put them there, and began to pray. Say, God, see. God, see what they have written. They are trying to. Now, you did the cause, so not be me. See, your nation, your people, your name. Isaiah woke up, heard the word strongly. Go and talk to Hezekiah. Tell him this is what I said. They won't fire one arrow against this city. That's how we handle fear. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't just look at it and not say anything. I keep on saying life is making statements. It's a battle of words. It's something I always used to say, and God is making sure in my life it always happens. I always say it. I say, I'm getting richer. That inflation can never outstrip me. It's not possible. They say, buy. It's getting costlier. I say, why? I'm getting richer. What is it? No, God has always confirmed it. I said every day, I say I'm getting richer. That as things are getting costlier, so am I getting, much more am I getting richer. As it is not possible that inflation will outstrip my prosperity. It will not happen. When dollar was going for 40 naira, I could not buy $40. But when dollar becomes 1,000 naira, I will buy $1 million. I won't bat an eyelid. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. You say, hey, dollar is getting expensive. Like Bishop used to say, go and buy cement. Cement is getting costlier. He said, you want to buy cement? He said, what about children they have not given birth to? They will still build houses. So why are you worried about? He said, children that have not been born, they will build houses. So I came to Enugu, cement has doubled in price. It doesn't concern me. The season of cement buying, I will buy by a truckload. When it was 700 naira, I could only buy like 5 bags to patch the house I was moving into. When if it become 10,000 naira per bag. When it is time to buy, I will call the head of Dangote Distribution. He will bring mine to my house. And I will pay him money. I won't beg him. Why? Because the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter. And he said to me, hey, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I can never be poor. For that reason, I make my choices. Hey, what are you going to do in Enugu? Money is in Lagos. I look at it and say, you don't know what you're saying. Money looks for where I am, and the one that's my portion comes to my house. If I move from now, I move to look for one small town between here and Abakaliki for me. And anywhere I move to, they will come there. I used to say, those days in my hometown in Owo, in Ondo State, a man resided there who single-handedly paid more tax than anybody else in the state and was the second largest employer of labor apart from government, state government in that state. And that's where he was living. In that same place, he will export of those days. He will export cocoa worth over 100 million naira when dollar was exchanging for 7 naira. For less than 10 naira, he was buying cocoa worth 100 million. He wasn't going anywhere, just sit down there. There are those in Lagos that are working for him. Do you get my point? Yes, from there they are working. That is, it's not your geographical location. It's your spiritual location that decides whether you are blessed or you are not blessed. That's how we tackle fear. If you are afraid of something, you go down, you kneel down straight. Maybe we'll continue prayer last night. Next time. Next time, I won't talk much. We'll just start the prayer. I wanted us to pray. Is that okay? The prayer is just the praise of God. That's what it is. Each person locates the thing. Because you see, in life, I notice that what the devil does is that, you know what about because a stronghold. Yes. The devil usually has one or two strongholds he has built around people. And every day, that's what he works on. He's making you afraid of marriage, as an example, or poverty, or long life. There are people that every day, if any of their uncles, everybody's uncles die once in a while, you know that? If your uncle has never died, put up your hand. See what I'm saying? You have a relative one day that died, Nabi? Yes, now. In this country. People, they die every day. But there are people that one, see, you hear, that your father's closest friend's uncle's cousin, you know him? Yes, he died last week. He says, there's death in my family. There's death in my, which your family? The person is so far away. But because the spirit of death is whispering. Are you getting my point? It tends to get amplified anytime he hears the word death. And listen to me, if you don't tackle it, the person dies on time. There's an antidote to the fear of physical death. There's a spiritual antidote to the fear of poverty. Are you getting my point? What do? You take those things and use them to strike the fear straight in the face. Don't keep quiet. The Bible says, with this, we quench the fiery darts of the devil, all right? Of the evil one. Now, what are fiery darts? Fire-tipped arrows. What they do is to set your heart aflame. It's fear. Issuing words. And what I said, fear, it cripples. There are people that listen, all the money they are earning, 1.5 million naira a month, and he feels like a king. He drives a very nice car. He's building a house. Over the next 3 years, he'll complete it. It's a nice house. He's feeling like a king. And God is looking. Anytime the angels pass the house, they will look at this house, shake their head. Say, why are you shaking your head? Say, see poverty. And they'll keep going. And they see the nice car he's driving. Everybody say, man, this your car is bad. Which one is this one? This is a Hyundai Azera. Wow. You bought it brand new. Yes, sir. And you are hailing. The angel look at the car, shake their head. You know what? What they are seeing is a man whose managers drive Rolls Royces. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. His managers. He can afford it, his fleet for the big executive at Rolls Royce. That's what they are seeing. But fear has given him a 1.5 million naira a month job. He will never come out. After that's the problem of black people. They don't have vision. Lack of vision. Lack of vision. It doesn't cross his mind that there are men who get paid dividends in a year, $2 billion. Do you hear what I said? He said, if you pour money on the floor, it's a waste of time for Bill Gates to bend down and be picking it. I'm sure if his dollar falls down, tell you somebody following him, I dash you that one. Yes, but we don't see it. 1.5 million a month, the guy feels on top of the world. Then he gets to heaven. What did you do? He said, hey, Lord, I tried. I sent at least 50 people to school, only me. Our God said, 50. Let me show you the number you did not send. He moves the screen aside, you see 55,000. Say what? Yes. If you had done what I said you should do, you wouldn't have had to give them money. It's their parents that will have paid their school fees from the money they will earn from you. So you want to bribe me with 50? 55 minus 50. 54,950. That's the amount of killing I'm going to kill you now. Because you did not do what I said. Why? Fear. You were afraid to lose 1.5 million. Meanwhile, if you had worked with my word and that fear had been cured, first 1 year, yes, it would be tough. Second year, maybe. But let's forget the first few years. Let's look over the next 10, 20, 30 years. You will look back, and if a man is any 1.5 million in your company, they will know he's a junior manager. But you died with a 1.5 because of the curse of Noah. Cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants. He will be. So when you made 1.5 million in a month, you thought you had become rich. You know that men were giving them out that 1.5 million naira. You know, like, okay, so you are going to school now. When is your wedding next week? Okay, take this 1.5. They can't plan wedding. Have I preached anything today? We'll pray next time. Let us bow down.